For the last several years, I've gotten a letter in the mail that says, please come to North Georgia Fellowship meeting. And it's winter time, and part of my responsibility at work is snow call. And if it snows, I got to push snow. And I wear the pager. And this year, I wasn't wearing the pager. And besides that, it was 50 degrees Monday, 40 degrees or 45 degrees Tuesday, going downhill, so we're hoping not to drive through snow on the way home. Count it a privilege to be here. And one more thing I'd like to say before I get started is we don't pass our meetings to different churches at where I'm at, so you can always remember, fourth Sunday in April, at New Liberty Church in Ashland, Missouri. Actually, the address is Hartsburg, but I'm on the wrong side of the line to be in Ashland. You know, I'm a mile from Ashland and 10 miles from Hartsburg. Anyway, we'd love to have you come worship with us in April. Thank you for the moment of smiles. But what we're here for tonight is God's Word. And I beg a big interest in your prayers as we come before you this evening. I've been working on a series of lessons in Psalms, and it's a big lesson. It's a big book, and there's always more to be said. And I'm talking to a group of people here that I'm not going to teach anything new to. But Peter said, I want to stir up your minds in a way of remembrance. And I want to tell you how great our God is. And I want you to see his great love for us. When we look at Ephesians chapter 2, it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. The word quickened there means he gave us life. When we come over to Psalms 119, we'll find the word quickened in there, I think 11 times. I'm the world's worst at numbers, but anyway, we'll find it in there several times. As we look at it in Psalms 119, he's not giving us life. But you'll see the writer there in Psalms 119, he's asking to be quickened again, or to made alive again, to be recharged. You know, you have batteries, and some batteries you get old and they die and you throw them away. But we've got what you call rechargeable batteries. And my friends, we want God to recharge us. We want him to give us hope and life, and we want him to bring to our remembrance his word and the promises that he has given to us. In Psalms 138, he says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. I hesitate to criticize the Bible, but I've always wondered, in Psalms 119, the historians tell us that every eight verses begin with the same letter in the Greek, in the Hebrew, as they were given there, that we might sing it. Somehow, when we transferred it into the English, I think we lost a bit of the beauty that might have been in that song. And I'm not criticizing the scriptures. I just wonder, I'd love to have heard that song sung, if you understand what I mean. And as we think of the Word of God, in Psalms, he'll tell us, and then Paul will tell us in Hebrews, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. What was this book written about? this book was written about Jesus Christ. And I understand the oldest writer to be Job. I don't know. I'm not a historian. I don't know how to follow all that stuff. But you remember what he said? I believe it was in the 19th chapter. Oh, that my words were now written, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that I shall see him in a latter day. And though after the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see him. How could Job know that? How could we know it except God gives it to us and he tells it to us and he's quickened us that we might see that and be lifted up. So having said that, I would like to call your attention to Psalms 119 and go to about verse 41. And I don't see a clock. Go to Psalms 119 and verse 41. As we look at Psalms 119, as I said earlier, these are, and you all know this, but there's 22 letters here that go in 8 verses apiece. And they directed towards God. Some of the commentaries and some of the writers say these verses are not connected. That each series of Psalms is not connected. Maybe so, maybe not. But I see sometimes in them that there's a big connection from one series to another. And sometimes I wonder where they're going. Well, you know, I believe it was Abraham Lincoln. He said, you know what, I don't know about the Scriptures, but it's still right. You know, if I don't understand something, that doesn't mean that it's not right. So anyway, God knows what we stand in need of. I'd like to skip down to verse 41. There's a lot of things to be said before here. But I'd like to look at this series of 8 Psalms, this series of 8 verses in Psalms 119. And look at what it does for us. As I look at this psalm, there are 2 petitions. There are 2 questions asked, and there's a reason for the questions that are asked. As we look at this, the questions that are asked, he said, let thy mercies come unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. What's a petition? It's a prayer. Do you ever want anything? You know, how many times has God worked in our lives? I could share with you 2 years ago 2 tremendous blessings that we've had. But I want to remember a sister that has fought cancer and she fell the other day and she broke both of her arms. And her sister just went through surgery today. And God has been merciful and blessed them. And a few years ago, that sister was supposed to have a transplant surgery. And it was the wrong kidney. And before she got out of town, they found the right kidney. If I got that right. God answers prayers. How has he answered your prayers? The writer here said, this petition I ask of you. Let thy mercies come unto me, O Lord. Even thy salvation according to thy word. When we look at things, when we, you ever get something and want to put it together? You know, guys hate to read, and I'm the world's worst. There's a few bars and a few screws here. Surely we can get them all put together. And lo and behold, I've got 2 screws left over and it doesn't work. And Karen says, read the directions. And she, usually back at step 1 or step 2, I forgot to put this bowl in. So let's read the directions. He says, according to thy word. The writer here says, God, you've given us your word. Let us live by it. Let us learn by it. Let us be encouraged by it. And the second petition he asks is found in verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of thy mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. take not the word of truth out of my mouth. And I have hope in thy judgments. What's the first thing you think of when you think of hope? That's a dangerous question to ask, because I'm getting ready to tell you the first thing I think of, and it might not be the same thing. But that's all right. Because God's word is so manifold, and we're everybody has their own gift, and everybody has their own way of thinking. But the first thing I think of when I think of hope is I think of the hope of the resurrection. I think of seeing Jesus Christ coming down and taking us home with Him in glory. But then I know of a man that met a car coming down the road at 100 miles an hour. The man in the car coming 100 miles an hour was trying to commit suicide and collided head on. None of them died. Where is their hope? They might have a different explanation of hope. The brother told us tonight of his experience with the family that came and the song that was there. He might have a different experience. You see what I mean? But he says, take not the word of truth utterly out of thy mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. The judgments of God are sure and true and full of mercy and grace, because the judgments of God concerning me, they have forgotten my sins and my iniquities, and they have taken them far away from me as the east is from the west. But now then, he says he has these two things, these two prayers that he requests with six things of anticipation in this series of eight psalms, in this series of eight verses. Why did he want to let his mercies come unto him? Why do we want to hold on to the word of God? So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Has anybody thrown stones at you? Has anybody unjustly condemned you? Has anybody said, if God were alive, you know, if there was such a thing? You know, the heathen says, where now is their God? But what did David say? He says, our God is in the heaven. And what has he done? Whatever he wants. Whatsoever he pleases, I think is the way it says it, but that means whatever he wants. My kids look at me sometimes and says, doesn't matter, Dad doesn't want it that way. Well, that's Dad's prerogative. That's part of being a parent sometimes. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. The second reason for this is a means of faithfulness. So I shall keep thy law continually ever before me. You know, have we ever made promises? And going back to the kids' situation, I've made promises to my kids that I intended to keep when I made the promise. But something came up. Something happened that I didn't foresee. Doesn't happen with God. God doesn't make us a promise that He doesn't keep. God doesn't bribe. You know, sometimes my promises were bribes. You know? You know, I promise you, if we just get this done, come on, kids, let's get it done. I don't want to have to face it tomorrow. You know what I mean? Sometimes my cheering section is... Years ago, we made a promise. To try to take care of kids. We had a little boy in our home that was there for about 10 days. And they came And they took that little boy out of the house and moved him 200 miles. And we said, wait a minute. He's bonded with us. You're starting an attachment disorder here. He's bonded with us. We'll adopt him. You're not on the list. You're not even, we've already made the decision. You know, with the government, they don't think sometimes. They just do. They just read and do. And we lost that little boy. I say we lost him. He went to the other home. I trust that home loved him and nurtured him, and he grew. And you know, 10 days, I trust that he bonded with that. I don't mean we lost him, that he was. But we said that's not going to happen again. And so we started filling out the paperwork. And in about 9 months, we was called to take a little boy into our home. And we did. And he's been a joy and a blessing to us all of our life. And thank you. So shall I keep thy commandments. We made a promise, and we tried to be faithful. He said, so shall I keep thy commandments forever and ever, according to the law. What are we trying to do? We're trying. We're working at knowing, Lord, teach me. Lord, help me. Lord, guide me. Lord, help me understand. The next thing that we did is we walk at liberty. What do we have in the gospel? We have liberty and freedom. What do you mean we have liberty? We got the Ten Commandments. We're supposed to give of all that we possess. We don't have liberty. I mean, we're bound by rules and regulations. My friends, that's where liberty is. What do the children want? The children want to be disciplined. Used to be that a foster parent could strike a child once, and then somebody got overbearing on that, and now then the rules are in there. You can hardly even look at a child without being hotlined for it. But we had a little boy in our home one time, and I was spanking my other children. And he looked at me and he said, Dad, why don't you ever spank me? And I said, Brother, a good spanking would do you good. And he said, I know it.
I know.
He knew it. He knew it. He was longing for that love and that chastisement. He was longing for that attention that way. But how many of the children today say, you can't touch me, and they keep working the system? They keep working the system. Are we that way with God's Word? Do we keep working the system so that we can get by without it, or do we want that chastening rod of God? Do we look forward to God's chastisement? And you know, I don't know. I do know. He doesn't come down here with a whip and with cigarettes and burn us. He doesn't come down here with a strap and cause us to bleed. That is child abuse. And I can show you in the scriptures where child abuse is against the scriptures, not let alone against the law. Don't get me wrong. But lovingly correcting a child isn't child abuse. So I will walk at liberty. Do we walk at liberty in God's Word? For I seek thy precepts. I seek what you've taught me. I seek your principles that you've taught me. I will speak of thy testimonies before kings, and I will not be ashamed. The fourth thing that God gives us in this series of 8 verses is boldness to stand before authorities. if we had opportunity to stand before our president today and plead with him, would we be bold to do so? Some of us would, and some of us would crawl in a hole. I'm afraid I'd be somewhat intimidated and not know what to say. You know, I got this problem. I got this frog in my throat sometimes. I just can't talk. But by the grace of God, we could stand before him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what did they say to the king? Here comes the trumpet. Oh, but there's three people standing there. What? We're not careful what to answer you. Is your God able? He's able. We don't know whether how he's going to do it, but he's able. Daniel? The governors, the people working against him, they were jealous because of how good he, what the king thought of, all the things that that they were jealous of him, so they got a decree. And Daniel said, oh, maybe I should, no, right away. And they knew that he was going to, and they said, look there, king. But the king sealed it with his ring, if I remember right. You know, he made it firm. It couldn't be, and he couldn't change it. What'd that do to that king? You talk about an upset stomach that night. You talk about a sleepless night. What'd that king do? He walked around. I know you're supposed to stand still and not move, but my legs just don't work that way. I'm sorry, but that king was like I was. He was running around, and he didn't have the party. He didn't have the girls. He didn't have the supper. He didn't have everything that he was supposed to have that night. And in the morning, what did he do? He came out there early in the morning and said, oh, Daniel. He was thinking God could deliver him. But would he? Oh, Daniel, is your God, was he able to deliver you? And Daniel said, you wicked king, he sure wasn't. No. He didn't say that. He honored the king. My friends, as much as you, whatever your opinion is about the rulers of our government today, we need to hold them up before God and let God take care of the situation. God is still in charge. You see, he has done whatsoever he has pleased among the inhabitants of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. So we have liberty and we have boldness. And the next thing we have in the Lord is delight. In the 47th verse it says, I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. I got so tired of listening to my grandmother. You know, it was, Dad would always ask her to pray, and I could ask Elaine, and she could probably quote it. I get it mixed up today, but Dad would always ask Grandma to pray, and one time he didn't ask her to pray. Grandma couldn't hear very good and couldn't see very good, and we were sitting down at mealtime, and Dad was saying the prayer, and here came Grandma, her Swedish prayer, and Dad was quiet. Grandma prayed every meal. I remember that. And as she was sitting in her chair over here and the partition to the kitchen and the living room, she was sitting here and the kitchen was here. I'd stand here and I would listen to her story again for the 10th time in the last 20 minutes. And everything over and over and over. But I'd love to hear that again. I'd love to hear her story of coming from Sweden and staying in the train depot in York, Nebraska, while they were waiting for money to come, and how they got delivered from that. I would love to hear her fairy tales. But my friends, do we love to hear from the Word of God? Do we love to hear what God has done for us? He has loved us with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness has he drawn us, and he has brought us. He has taken our ancestors, and I don't know, that might be the wrong way to say that, but we go back far enough. Can we remember what the Jewish people did while they were down in Egypt? And they came to the Red Sea, and they were delivered. Can we remember, can we think of that strong east wind as it began to blow that night? And Moses was standing there talking, excuse me, I got it out of order. Moses was standing there and telling them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Lord told him to put his rod out, and a strong east wind began to blow. And they said, there you go. You know how I know it was at night? He said, because in the morning watch, and they walked, and 12 hours, not any more than 12 hours later, they turned around and they watched Pharaoh's army defeated by God, not by them. Do we remember that? Have you seen that in your life? It's there if we just look for it. So we have a delight in the laws of God and the promises that He has given to us and the commandments that He has given to us. The commandments of present your bodies a living sacrifice, whole and acceptable before God, which is your reasonable service. What do you mean by that? Don't you look for family reunions? What did you do about a month ago? Were not most of you with family? Did you not look forward to that? What? Who would we rather be with? Our God, I trust, present your bodies a living sacrifice, whole and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And do what? Be not conformed to the world, but be what? Transformed. Learn more of this word. And last, that we might be eager. He says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. I will meditate in thy statutes. What do we think about? What do we think about? Super Bowl's coming up. Are we worried about that? Some of us are thinking about it. But do we worry about it? I mean, there's some people that's all they're thinking about. We got some basketball games coming up. But what are we meditating in? Let's meditate in the words of God. You know, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I've got a little boy that loves basketball. His first basketball game is Friday. And he said, Dad, you're going to miss my game. And I said, yeah, I'm so sorry. And he said, okay. The important part is he's not going to miss it. But you know what? If I could have 5 more minutes, in all honesty, that little boy would be disappointed in not getting to play that first basketball game on Friday. Yeah. But if he were down here, if it were so that he would have came with me, he wouldn't have thought of it again. When he was about 3 years old, he watched me baptize 3 people. And he came up to me and he said, Dad, I want to be baptized. And I said, all right. And Karen and I talked about it. And for reasons I don't need to go into here, it wasn't the right time. It wasn't that he wasn't ready. But you see, I might have been afraid of what ifs. I was afraid of what ifs. And we kept telling him, when you're adopted, you can be baptized. That night that he asked me, he went home and Karen was giving him a bath. And he laid his head through under the water and he sat up and he said, I've been baptized.
Me too.
And the next night, and the next night, and the next person joined the church, he came up and says, can I be baptized? When we decide, when legally, there wasn't legal risk to it, we allowed him to be baptized. And let me share with you, I about dropped the little boy in the water when I baptized him. Because you know how conditioned we are. Somebody joined the church. All right. We're thankful for this, and we take him in and we baptize him. This little boy was this big. And we was baptizing an adult that day also, so the water was this deep.
Oh, yeah.
And so I said, all right, buddy, come on. And I took him in my arms and I brought him down there. His smile was from here to here. And I took him and I said, buddy, you have anything to say here? To, I can call him by name. He's my child. His name's Fedron. I said, Fedron, do you have anything you want to tell the people? He says, I love the Lord. And he said it to me, and I had to repeat it to them. And I turned the little boy around, and I was holding his buttocks in my hand, and I had my hand behind his shoulders. And I said, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I do baptize you. And I laid him down, and I about dropped him. His little hair was going in the water. His little eyes were closed, and out of his nose and his mouth came little bubbles of water. That boy was dead. That boy had died. And I about dropped him. And I raised him up. And I set him out here. He said, yes, Dad. I had never seen the most perfect picture of the death, burial, and resurrection until I saw that little boy and I thought he was dead in my hands. My friends, that's the perfect picture. Remember God's word. It gives us his precepts and his promises. I thank you for your kind attention.